I'm Mike Vardy, and this is the Productivityist Podcast. Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. I am your host, founder of Productivityist and productivity strategist, Mike Vardy. This week on the show, I have Dmitry Leonov. He is the co-founder of Sanebox, which is a very popular tool that people use to manage their email. And it's one of those tools where, like, really like any tool, you're going to want to spend some time getting to know, because you don't want to just take a tool like Sanebox or any technology, really, and just plant it on and use either all of it or none of it. And we talk about that during the episode here, along with a whole bunch of things. And I'm really, really happy to share this with you so early in the year, if you're listening to this as it's been released, because this is the time of year where people really want to focus on changing some habits, and email habits can be one of the biggest predictors of your personal productivity. So without further ado, let's get into this discussion I have with Dmitry Leonov, co-founder of Sanebox, here on the Productivityist Podcast. I'd like to welcome Dmitry Leonov of Sanebox. He's the co-founder of Sanebox to the podcast. He is currently on the side of the road. We wanted to make this absolutely clear. He's not driving. Thanks for joining me on the show, Dmitry.
Great to be here.
So, I want to talk to you a little bit about something you're probably a little familiar with, and that's email. And you know of this email of which I speak, right?
A little bit, yes.
So a lot of my listeners will be familiar with Sanebox, either in a cursory way or maybe a more in-depth. Some of them will have used it. I mean, Sanebox has sponsored the show before, but I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the idea of email being this pull for so many people when it comes to the overarching aspect of their work. It's this thing that pulls them in, and in some cases can really keep them from moving other aspects of their work forward. And I don't want to dive right necessarily into the specifics of how Sanebox can help with that, because we'll probably talk a little bit about that. But how, when you've obviously come across this problem, how have you handled the issue, other than tool-based solutions, of the pull of email keeping you away from some of the processing and the progress that you want to make with work that falls outside of that spectrum?
Absolutely. And I just want to kind of clarify that the tools are really the smallest piece of the puzzle.
Right.
By far, the most important thing that needs to happen is that you need to change the way you think about it. So you need to adopt a different process, just different way of thinking. And there's, you know, plenty of tools that can help you do that. But a tool is just a tool, you know, without the right pair of hands, it's completely useless.
Right. Absolutely.
I think the biggest thing that we see, in our customers, and also just from doing a lot, being in the space for 5 years, is people think about email incorrectly. Email has this kind of inherent good feeling when you, it's like playing Tetris, right? You clear out emails out of your inbox. It feels good to do so, and you might even get to zero at some point. But what we don't realize is, we don't think about consciously, is that it's just like a game of Tetris. More emails will keep coming, and faster, right? The volume of email increases every year. And so unless you're conscious about this, you will eventually lose in this game. So you can never beat email. And I think the biggest issue that we see is, and especially with the, you know, with the mobile phones, you know, being what they are today, email has become our default number one priority. You know, and I'm guilty of this just as everyone else. You know, wake up in the morning, you look on your phone, and next thing you know, 5 minutes passed, you haven't even had your coffee yet, and you already answered email. And then same thing, you get into the office, open up your laptop, Outlook or Gmail, whatever you're using, and it's kind of start typing away. And next thing you know, it's lunchtime. And
right.
All you've done is answered a bunch of emails, and you haven't done any of the work that you actually have to do. So I think the number one issue we're seeing, and this is probably the hardest thing to overcome, but also the most impactful, is to be conscious of putting email in its place. And really what that means is scheduling time for doing email. So I have an appointment at 11 o'clock every day called email time. And so that's the time I have for processing my email.
How long do you set aside to check email? Because I think that's the thing too, is people will go, it's great to schedule that time. And I think that's one of the things that I encourage people to do is to say, okay, if you're really, if you feel compelled to check the email and know that you're going to be in there, schedule it. But how long do you set aside? Because I think that'll be helpful for some people out there who are struggling with that, because they'll schedule it, but then they'll dive in and they can't get out.
You know, I do half hour, but really, I think it's less important, you know, how much time you schedule, half hour, sometimes it might be 2 hours. But it's important to block that time. Because what that forces you to do is actually prioritize email within the context of your day. Right? At the very least, you know how long it took. You can measure it as opposed to just, you know, diving in and spending your whole day in it. So sometimes it can be half hour. It really depends on how much email you have.
Right. Now, do you go in? So let's talk a little bit about, you know, like kind of the idea of when the tool comes into play. So, I mean, obviously there's a lot of noise there, and I'm a believer in automation to a point. Again, like you talked about it, there's some willpower that needs to be involved, some discipline. But a lot of people, what they feel they can do is, sure, they'll schedule email time. Sure, they'll say, okay, I think I got a handle on this, but it's because I've got all these tools, these filtration and this automation in place. Where do you think, you know, that can go too far? Because we've seen it where either automation can break or, you know, a service goes belly up or changes. I mean, we've seen this. I mean, we've seen, you know, we've seen that happen recently with calendar stuff, is that people dive into something like Sunrise and then all of a sudden Microsoft buys it and absorbs it into Outlook. And all of a sudden the tool that you've used is gone. And that's what you kind of relied upon to manage all that stuff. So where, in terms of automation, where do you find that kind of begins and ends, in terms of your own workflow?
Sure. And I can speak for my workflow and also for what I see, you know, with our customers,
mm-hmm.
lots of folks. You absolutely hit the nail on the head. Again, automation or tools can only do so much without your kind of awareness. The biggest issue that we're seeing, even with our customers. So what Paymock does is it understands your email habits, what's important to you, what's not important, based on your past interactions. And we move all of the noise out of your inbox into a separate folder where you can review it, you know, whenever you have time. Now, what we see a lot of people do is they just don't review it, right? So they essentially treat it as that stuff just does not deserve to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really the case, right? So the key to kind of effective, efficient email processing is bulk processing. So, you know, deal with your important stuff, and bulk process your unimportant stuff. But the key is still process, right? So you still have to deal with it. And so just by leaving it in your unimportant folder, you know, whether it's Sandbox or Gmail's, you know, tabs or the low priority inbox, leaving stuff there does not really solve the problem. By kind of grouping, by context grouping unimportant stuff into one place, it makes it easy for your brain to, our human brain is very good at detecting patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see unimportant, and then boom, an important email comes in, it's easy for our brain to pick it out, right? And so that is why grouping unimportant emails in one place is really useful, because it allows you to quickly spot check and, you know, pull out the signal out of a sea of noise. But just leaving stuff there and, you know, out of sight, out of mind thing doesn't really work. You still have to be diligent. You still have to process all of your email. And what's really interesting, what we see over and over, is that early on, we were lucky. Our early customers were pretty much exclusively VCs and entrepreneurs. And so we see some of these people who get thousands of emails, literally 2,000 emails a day. And they routinely, if not daily, get to inbox zero. So these people that have way more, you know, that than us normal people get, are able to process it better than we can. And tools play a small role in this, but really, by far, the most important thing is just the discipline and the diligence to get through everything.
I want to talk about Inbox Zero for a second, because that term I have a love-hate relationship with. A lot of productivity strategists do. Mainly because I think the term's been kind of altered from its or the perception of what it is has been altered as it's entered kind of the more popular consciousness. So can you tell me what you believe Inbox Zero to be, like, in terms of, yeah, like, what your definition of it is? Because I mean, I think we probably are closer to similar alignment in terms of that, but a lot of people seem to have this idea that Inbox Zero is my email inbox is at zero. I have replied to all my emails, or I have, you know, now that I've got to Inbox Zero, my day is done, kind of thing. So can you kind of elaborate on your thoughts on what Inbox Zero is? And I could tell by your chuckle that you kind of know where I went with this.
No, it's my pet peeve as well. I think people think that Inbox Zero is just the state of having zero emails in your inbox. And that's not really true. Inbox Zero is a process by which you consistently get to zero emails in your inbox. I think is that kind of what you're getting?
I think what a lot of people strive for is sometimes they're going for that holy grail of Inbox Zero in terms of getting their email to zero, when sometimes that isn't really what the outcome should be for them. It's sometimes okay to not have zero emails in your inbox, but what, in my estimation, and I'd love your thoughts on this, but what isn't okay is to have emails in there that are left kind of as undefined or mysterious.
Exactly. I think there are many ways to, well, not many, there are a few ways to think about Inbox Zero and to adjust the process to your specific needs. Ultimately, I think Inbox Zero is basically triage, right? It's another way of saying triage. And so triage came from the Napoleonic Wars. And essentially, the reason that the root is right, which means there are three groups of things. And in our case, it's three groups of, well, originally it came from there are three groups of patients or wounded soldiers that, you know, that were wounded on the battlefield. There are soldiers that are going to die regardless of what you do to them. Soldiers are going to live regardless of what you do. And the third bucket of, you know, patients that for whom kind of an immediate treatment is going to make a big impact on their life. So basically the idea is that soldiers are going to die, you know, give them morphine really quickly and just move them out. Soldiers are going to live, you know, stitch them up or do whatever and move them out. And then that gives you the most of your time to actually do things that, you know, require work. And so when the context of emails, there are three kinds of emails. There are emails that should be deleted or archived in bulk, the unimportant stuff. So that's where, you know, that's what we discuss, bulk processing your unimportant emails. That's kind of that, you know, will die regardless of what happens. Don't spend your time. The other bucket is the quick fix bucket. So there are basically three things you can do. Delegate, respond, or snooze, or defer. So that's basically, if a response, delegation, or snoozing takes 30 seconds or less, just do it now. And then, so the bulk of the stuff that's left in your inbox should be things that you will do today. Right? And so, in a perfect world, everybody should get to Inbox Zero at the end of the day, because that, if you process your emails correctly, the only emails left will be the ones that you will do before the end of the day. But I think that's kind of that's what I strive for. That's my ideal case.
Right.
What I also see, you know, a lot of people do is they just leave those, the work bucket, the stuff that needs to, that will take some time, they leave it in their inbox. That's fine as well. I think the ideal case is actually moving it. So one of our customers, Bill Liao, he's one of those people that gets thousands of emails and routinely gets to Inbox Zero.
Mm-hmm.
He actually taught me this this kind of trick of taking those important emails that require work and starring them in Gmail, or you
right.
can flag them in Outlook. So what that does is it still moves it out of your inbox, or star and archive. So basically, it moves it out of your inbox, and you think of your start folder as that work folder.
Mm-hmm.
That way your inbox is, basically every time you go through your inbox is clean. Your inbox is at zero by definition, because you've deleted unimportant stuff, snoozed, delegated, forwarded the quick fixes, and then you move the actual work into the start folder. So your inbox is at the same state that your physical mailbox inbox is, which when you take out the envelopes, right? So you never read the envelopes and stuff them back into your mailbox.
Right. No, I use that metaphor all the time, and people are like, no, that would right. be crazy. I'm like, but you do that all the time in email.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I think when I think of Inbox Zero, like, I think there are a couple of different ways to skin that cat, but ultimately it all revolves around the idea that there are those three kinds of emails, and you have to triage them in a certain way. And I mean, ideally, your inbox is a zero. And if not, then the only email left will be the ones that you will process soon.
I think the zero really boils down to zero mystery. Like, I've had people that have said, do you know what I mean? Like, I have people that that will leave the inbox. Remember, the inbox is to me is just a trigger word. Like, you have a relationship with that word. So if the term inbox to you means this is stuff that I need to work on, then mm-hmm. that's fine. But then make sure that the stuff that's in there is stuff that you need to work on. The stuff you don't need to work on shouldn't be there. You know, so I think that what I see a lot of people doing is that they just leave stuff in the inbox because they haven't made a decision about it yet.
Yep, absolutely.
I want to touch on this whole idea of working within your email app, because I don't find that's very effective. So for example, the idea of starring your emails and then having them as a work folder. The problem I find with that, maybe you can speak to this as well, is that because we have so many emails coming at us all the time, not all of us have the discipline to say, as we're looking at this work folder or these starred emails, to ignore the ping of notification as a new email lands in our inbox. I don't find that's the best place to have your stuff. Do you leave your emails that you need to use, like that you need to work on, like you need to do focused work, do they stay in there for you, or do you move them into some other kind of solution or holding bay so that when you're ready to work on them, you have the level of focus or attention that they require?
You know, I do the star trick. So I star and archive them.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically work out of my start folder.
And you're disciplined enough. You're able to kind of ignore the bolding of the inbox as things come into you.
It depends on depends on the day.
Do you sort by date or do you sort by person? Because I think that's another thing that a lot of people take for granted in email. They're like, well, I'm just going to deal with the things that arrive today. And one thing that I think people don't do is, again, they look at the tool at face value and say, well, this is how emails come in, first in, first out. But sometimes you can, I recommend to some people, and maybe you do this, is sort it by the sender. So you could say, hey, you know what? My boss sent me three emails. I'll deal with those emails and the others can sit there. Because then at least I've got this sense of I've done the important stuff. Do you do that?
No, I don't. I probably get couple hundred emails a day, but when I'm done with my email time, it's usually less than 20. So sorting is not going to be that helpful for me personally. But I mean, also that's one of I actually use a Gmail webmail interface,
right?
And that's it's a mystery to me why they haven't allowed sorting. It's crazy.
Yeah, and you can't sort by oldest to newest either. It has to be the newest is at the top. That doesn't make any sense to me either.
Right. I actually don't understand why they haven't addressed that at all. I mean, that's the easiest and biggest bang for the buck.
So I want to talk about segmentation a little bit, because, I mean, that's something that Samebox does, and it does very well. And initially when Samebox started out, it was not, there wasn't as many segmentation components, right? It was, you know, you didn't have you didn't have all of the stuff you have now. Do you think there's such a thing as too much segmentation in the email? Because then what I think can happen, at least is my opinion here, is that you can, again, spend a lot of time in your email inbox rather than spending time outside of it doing some focused work. I mean, again, that's my own take on it. But talk to me about segmentation in terms of, can there be too much of it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it really depends on you. I think there are two kinds of people. There are segmentors and non-segmentors. So by default, we actually only have create one folder, and that's the unimportant folder.
Yep.
And we move everything there. And I think for vast majority of people, that's probably the right way to think about it. There's no need to create multiple layers. We know some of our customers, the way their mind works is they need to sub-segment. It seems to work for them. It would never work for me. So I think it really depends on the person.
Okay. Yeah. Because I mean, I've noticed that there are when and this is, again, I think this doesn't just apply to Samebox. It applies to a bunch of tools. Is people, they'll get the tool and they'll go, look at all the stuff it can do, and then they do it without really having any intention behind it. They basically say, it's like a Swiss Army knife, and they say, you know what? Well, this is, there's a screwdriver here, there's a knife here, there's a corkscrew. I'm going to use all of it. And then, you know, the corkscrew isn't the best corkscrew, or the knife isn't the best knife. So, I mean, I find that a lot of people will do that without being thoughtful. And I think this all boils back to the initial stuff that we were talking about, like being thoughtful about your approach to the platform that you're in. And I think, how have you fostered thoughtfulness in email? Because, I mean, I'm looking at an Atlantic article, and this is from earlier this year, but it talks about, you know, like the average response time for some people is that the 70% of work emails were attended to within 6 seconds of their arrival, which to me, isn't that insane? No pun intended, but I mean, it's like, we treat email as if it's the phone or as if it's a conversation that we're having with the person right next to us. We tend to treat email incorrectly. I've said this before. I really wish text messaging showed up first, because then you could, that make the way we email is often the way we text message. You know, it's like, thanks for the email. Well, no problem. Thanks for doing that. Okay. And you've got these 8 emails that have gone back and forth that really just create additional threads as opposed to anything else. So, I mean, how do you foster thoughtfulness and mindfulness when it comes to dealing with email? Because 6 seconds, that sets some unrealistic expectations for people.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I love that you use those two words, thoughtfulness and mindfulness. I mean, I think that's probably the key to solving a lot of problems for, you know, in our lives and in the world in general. That the act of being mindful of what's going on alone. And yeah, email is definitely one of those things. What's really interesting, and slight tangent, but one of the things we see is there are two kinds of people. There are people that are very thoughtful about their workflow, and there are people that are not. And vast majority of people are just not thoughtful at all and are reactive. Right? And so, and this is really, really hard. I mean, it's very hard to, unless there's a desire to be proactive and mindful, it's really hard to convince the person that they should do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done a few efforts, from eBooks to kind of drip campaigns, in kind of educating on why it's important and how to do it most easily. But it's still a challenge. But I mean, it's kind of a self, there's a self selection bias. If you don't want to be mindful, you won't be. And if you want to be, then you absolutely will be. So I think, just understanding that, maybe highlighting the problem and highlighting the 6 seconds issue. And frankly, my favorite stat is that 28% of our work time is spent responding to email, spent in our inbox.
Yep.
And that is insane. Considering that email wasn't even around really 10 years ago, well, You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's fairly new. Like if 30 years ago we spent 28% of our time on our phone, we'd be like, oh, so you're a call center person, or you work in customer service, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I don't understand. It's not an anyone's job description. But to me, that's the astounding part. But I mean, it really ties it together. The reason we spend so much time is because we respond within 6 seconds, right?
Well, Dimitri, one of the things that I was really looking forward to talking with you, because email is such a huge pain point for so many people. I'm glad you reinforce the idea that, look, it's the approach that's more important than the app initially. Like, you know, the tools play a role, but it's not the primary driver. And I want to help people find out where you're at, both online and, you know, where can people find you so that they can not just follow the stuff that you do with Sanebox, because if you go to sanebox.com, there's lots of stuff there, but also where they can find out and learn more about you and your insights into productivity. So where can people find you?
Let's see. My Twitter account. It's at Dimitri, D-M-I-T-R-I.
Awesome. And of course, head over to Sanebox.com and you can learn a lot more about it. I mean, they've got the blog there. Sanebox, just to be clear, it's free to try, right? Isn't it? It's free to put through the paces. And then there's the 10-day email academy, and there's a lot there. And Sanebox, I mean, guys like David Sparks, there's a reason that he dedicated a considerable part of his email book, which is a fantastic book on email, in his iBooks, because he uses Sanebox quite frequently. I haven't used it as much, but you know, after our conversation, Dimitri, and seeing how many more emails are coming into my inbox these days, I may just have to jump back on the train. So thanks so much for joining me this week on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
I'd like to thank Dimitri for joining me this week on the podcast. Of course, go to Sanebox.com to learn more about Sanebox. And you know what? Let me know. Send any kind of messages off to podcast@productivityist.com and let me know your thoughts on Sanebox, as well, or maybe what other tools you might be using to help manage your email in a better way in 2016 and going forward. Now, you didn't get the entire episode. The public podcast is missing some elements of the interview. Now, my podcast producer, John Polster, does a great job of making it sound like you got everything. And you did get a lot of great value out of it. But if you want to get more value, you can become a Patreon supporter. Head over to patreon.com/productivityist. There are tiers that start at the $1 mark and go all the way up to the $100 mark. You can support at any level. It helps make the show better. And you get some cool perks along the way. So check that out over at patreon.com/productivityist. That's it for this week. I will be back next week with a brand spanking new episode of the podcast. Until then, I am Mike Vardy, your podcast host and productivity strategist, as well as founder of Productivityist, reminding you to stop guessing and start going.